You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108.
Two-thirds of all prisoners released from jail will reoffend within 3 years of their release, according to a report published this morning by the Irish Prison Service and Central Statistics Office, which raises worrying questions about the effectiveness of prison as a deterrent and confirms the impression that it's operating a revolving door policy. And I'm joined by Fiona McLaughlin, who's a law lecturer and participant in the Alternative to Violence programme. And joining us on the line is Peter McVerry of the Peter McVerry Trust and a regular here on News Talk. You're both very welcome. Peter McVerry, perhaps I'll go to you. Are these findings surprising to you?
Absolutely not. I'd be surprised if it was anything different. The reality is that an awful lot of people, the majority, in fact, who go to prison have a drink or a drug problem. They go into prison. They're in an environment where drugs are readily available. Most of them get absolutely no help with their drug problem while they're in prison, and they're released with the same drug problem that they went into prison with.
Right.
You have some services in prison, yes, for some drug users, but far too little. You might have one drug counsellor in a prison dealing with maybe 400 prisoners. You can be waiting 3 months to even to see the drug counsellor for a first time.
Okay.
So people have a drug problem which is not addressed. Many people leaving prison are homeless. They were homeless going into prison, and they're homeless coming out of prison.
All right.
They're going
okay.
back into exactly the same dysfunctional environment that they went into
prison. That provoked it in the first
and
place.
And then we're surprised that their behaviour is any different.
Okay, before we get to root causes, I want to take a look at the top line findings of the study. Fiona McLaughlin, are there certain categories of crime that result in greater reoffending?
There are. The one that you'd notice that is the largest amount of recidivism, which is being re-imprisoned or re-offending within in this study, it's within 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's being convicted of another offence. Now, that second offence may not have the same gravity as the first offence. So the second offence may be a minor public order offence, and then that still counts as recidivism or reoffending. Whereas a previous study done in use by the UCD Institute of Criminology.
This is in 2006.
Yeah, and these CSO figures come from 2007, so they're quite old, and in a way they come from a different time as well. The UCD definition of recidivism was being re-imprisoned within 2 years of being convicted within 2 years of the first offence, and then the criminal process being kind of tied up within
okay,
3 years.
Let's get back to this one for a second. We'll go into the comparisons between the two studies and what the findings were. But is there, again, certain categories of crime? Is it, people who've been convicted of burglary or assault or crimes against the person?
Well,
are they the ones that are resulting in greater recidivism, say, other people who are guilty of sexual assaults, for instance?
Absolutely. So sexual assault has the lowest. On this study, it has 28.7%. But the usual figure given for sexual offence reoffending is about 18%. And in America, it would be, the studies would show it would be even lower. And then lower again would be that it was actually another sexual offence that was the second offence that they were tried on. The largest one is burglary, and that's at 78%, 79.5% in this study. And that would show the porridge. It's a prison is an occupational hazard where there seems to be a decision to go out and come back in again on burglary. But
and does the recidivism rates found in this study, what is it, 60-something percent, just under two-thirds, 62.3%, has it gone up or gone down relative to previous studies, particularly the one in 2006 that you quoted?
This study is unique, and it has you have to take your hat off to Michael Donlan. He has managed to coordinate the CSO, the prison service, the guards, the courts, and brought them working together to bring for the first time in Ireland a study into reoffending. And the UCD one can't really be compared to this one because it because of different motoring offences that were included, and as I said before, the definition of recidivism. In England, they have a different system which is called Proven Reoffending Statistics, and that's released quarterly. And an interesting thing that comes out of that is that each reoffender commits 2.8 offences on average. So you're not necessarily talking about one offence for somebody to be reoffending.
Peter McFerry, the UCD study that Fiona was quoting from 2006, one of its findings was that the likelihood, and I'm quoting here, to reoffend was directly linked to the level of financial, social or cultural capital of each individual. And the implication here being is that prison did not add to the prisoner's financial, social or cultural capital, which is kind of in keeping with the point you were making at the beginning.
It is. A lot of people get nothing out of prison. They come out of prison probably worse than they went into prison. If they came out of prison better than they went into prison, it's not because of the prison system. Now, having said that, there are excellent educational and training workshops available in prison, but they're only available to a small percentage of prisoners. They're not available to everybody because they simply are not. For example, in Wheatfield Prison, you had 302 originally it was built for 320 prisoners. You had workshops and education and training for 320 prisoners. Then they started doubling up the cells and it went up to 500. They added a new extension, it went up to 700, and not one single extra classroom or workshop was added to cater for the extra numbers. So while there are excellent facilities, they're not available to anybody. They're not even available to most prisoners. And most prisoners spend their time in prison absolutely bored to tears, walking around the yard, playing snooker, watching television, a meaningless sort of existence. And if you're in that existence and you're surrounded by drugs, the chances are you're going to be tempted. And I would know a lot of young people, particularly maybe as many as 40 young people, whose first introduction to drugs was while they were in prison. That was where they went into prison drug-free, never having touched a drug, and they came out addicted to heroin.
There are many theories on what the primary role of prison should be, but prison as a form of deterrent. And the question raised by this study is prison indeed, because, Fiona makes the point, you have the impression that you can draw from this report is that prison for many is a community, frightening to a lot of people, but very familiar to others, to the point that they see it as an acceptable extension of their lives outside of prison.
Prison is a deterrent if you have something to lose by going into prison.
That's absolutely the case.
And for many people, most people going into prison, they have nothing to lose. And they tell me being out of prison is exactly the same as being in prison, except you don't have bars. And some people tell me they prefer to be in prison. Life in prison is much easier for them because life outside is so difficult, so stressful, so has just nothing to offer them. So going into prison is for many, many people, is simply not a deterrent. For me, going into prison would be a deterrent because I have something to lose.
Absolutely.
By going into prison. So I think we can eliminate the deterrent.
Fiona McLaughlin, we talked about this UCD study that talked about the levels of financial, social or cultural capital of each individual. And it's an interesting concept. And I suppose the question to you is, what realistically can prison in Ireland provide that will alter in a positive way the financial, social or cultural capital of those within its system?
A lot of the time, nothing. Say with burglary, a deterrent may or may work. It seems to work 30% of the time, according to these statistics. If you look at that, people with no previous convictions, 11% come out and reoffend. There's an indication of people who went in with one offence and came out and reoffended. That's a key sign. It's
11% of those who were convicted for their first offence did not reoffend. Reoffended.
Their UK statistics.
89% didn't.
89 on a first offence. Now those figures change with an age profile. The younger you are, and the more previous convictions you have, the more likely it is you're going to reoffend.
And this is in the UK, and also in this study here.
If you've got 11 or more convictions, as a juvenile, you're 78%. It's the recidivism rate is 78%.
Well, you're termed what in the common parlance a career criminal.
Yeah, I'd love to have had a career at 17. You know, if you're calling a 17-year-old a career criminal, then you have a problem in the system already.
Okay, fair enough.
And classical labelling theory comes into all of this as well.
But you're saying is that the prison can offer very little. Peter McVerry paints a picture.
My experience of when I'm in a project in a prison is that there is frighteningly little. And in Mountjoy, a man was explaining to me that, you know, how often they bolt themselves in. And I said, but you're in a prison. Why would you lock yourself into the cell? And he said, because when we hear the warden coming along, we know he's got a new guy with us and there's already two mattresses on the floor and he's not putting another one in ours. And if you put somebody into an inhumane condition, I really don't understand why you think they're going to come out a better person.
Because the attitude would be amongst many people is that prison needs to be a tough enough deterrent that will frighten you from ever offending again.
If you're middle class, prison frightens you. If you're a minister, you're going to be very frightened of a tiny allegation against you. But if you've got very little, Eddie Doyle a number of years ago did a great documentary about a set of flats in Dublin, and he interviewed somebody who was saying, "Oh, I was in Mountjoy the last 2 weeks," and he said, "How'd you find that?" And he honestly went, "It was a break. You know, it was a break and it was great. It was great to get away for a couple of days." And if you have a situation where somebody has nothing to lose, then you have a dangerous situation.
Peter McVerry, how?
Yeah, could I make a point?
Yeah, you can, of course.
But I think if you want to reduce recidivism, it's not the prison we should be focusing on. It's what happens outside prison. The first few weeks outside prison is critical to whether a prisoner is going to reoffend or not. And prisoners, in my experience, are released with €5 in their pocket. They may be released on a Friday afternoon. There are no services open. They may have no accommodation to go to. And by Monday, they have robbed to get a few bob. It's what happens to them on release. And where they go and what. In the north of Ireland, if you're released, there's accommodation waiting for you if you don't have any. There's a course or training course or a program available to you if you want to use it. You're not simply released back out into exactly the same dysfunctionality that you came into prison from. And so it's what happens to prisoners in the first few weeks after they come out of prison is critical to the recidivist rate.
And this study shows that as well, because it shows that in the first 6 months is the most likely time you're going to reoffend. But things within prison I do think can help as well. If you want people to maintain a stake in society, it's not just a job. Many people don't have jobs but have a stake in society. You have family, you may have friends. In prison, your only chance to maintain that stake is through visits and is through telephone calls. If you have greater access to telephone calls in prisons, you would have happier children, you would have inmates who were maintaining a stake in society and would be less likely to reoffend on the outside.
And what do you say to that tranche of society who would say that prison should be a punishment? And so therefore, if you misbehave in prison, if you disobey the prison officer's rules, that your phone call privilege will be taken away, that your television privileges will
You've
be taken away.
You've got a jacuzzi and a gym and jail stuff, yeah.
Well,
It's not true. It's absolutely not true. And a really disgusting thing that's happening in Irish prisons at the moment, in the women's prison, they had an excellent regime that was at the forefront of prisons in Europe, and now they're trying to build dormitories, to put women into dormitories in some mass production of people in and out of prison. And if you're going down that route, you're into a problem. In America, when people are reoffend, and you've got one person in 32 in America within the criminal justice system, and that's a stark and one.
I think
one
it's
in
higher than China, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, what do we know about China, really? But is that it's usually minor violations of parole or or release conditions that result in somebody being sent back to prison. And if you create an overly authoritarian and overly bureaucratic regime out when somebody comes out of prison, you're more likely to have them brought back in as well. So I do think there are things you can
okay
address.
All right. Unfortunately, you're going to have to leave it there. Peter McVerry of the Peter McVerry Trust and Fiona McLaughlin, participant in the Alternative to Violence programme. Thank you very much to both of you for joining us. That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.